Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you'll need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 15th of October, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, Managing Director and CEO. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for making the time to join us here for the September quarterly production report. I'll just go through this quickly and get ourselves into the Q&A session. So firstly, the highlights. Look, the quarter has been a very good one for us. We're very pleased with the solid start to the year. As everybody knows, this quarter obviously had within it the full effect of a change out at Narrabri, and despite that, we certainly demonstrated with Maules coming on that we certainly put incremental tonnes into our production basket, which has been very positive for us. So I'll quickly go through the highlights for you. Safety, as you know, a determined focus on our part to try and continue to improve the great momentum we've brought in over the last couple of years into our safety outcomes. And our TRIFR rate at 8 versus 9.2, where we ended up last year, has certainly been evidence of that continued push, which is pleasing. Maules Creek, as you know, now commissioned 1st of July, running nicely. So 6 million tonne rate is very positive, and this quarter, obviously, evidencing that 6 million tonne rate, which is good. Narrabri changeout, done very successfully, so on time and budget and safely as well, which is a big positive for us. Now back up and running, I'll talk to that a little bit more. ROM production for the quarter, 3.9 million tonnes, and you know that's even allowing for a changeout, was certainly an improvement on our previous corresponding period by some 12%. Saleable coal production at 4.3, some 31% over. And really a function of the fact that it allowed us to continue to move forward despite the change out taking place. Our managed coal sales at 4.5 million tonnes, 47% up over the corresponding period. Again, evidence to the fact that we've been able to sell coal, having built up the stocks ahead of the change out, to be able to maintain continuity of sales during that period. Just to the tables, as I say, 3.86, 12% up on the previous corresponding period for our managed ROM production. The managed total coal sales at nearly 4.5 is certainly a nice improvement at 47% over the period, and equity coal sales there at 3.534 versus 2.4 at 48% over period on period is certainly certainly as expected for us. Over on the equity sales and equity production table at 3, these numbers pretty much cascade down as you would expect for the managed to equity translation. Equity ROM coal production at 3 million tonnes versus 2.67, 13% up. The saleable coal production on equity basis, 3.3 versus 2.6, 28% up. And equity sales on total, 3.534 versus 2.388, 48% up, as I say, as expected, given the managed increases as well. From a safety perspective, the quarterly, not just from the overall TRIFR rate at 8% was positive, but certainly during the quarter we've been very busy. We've had our annual our safety day across the group, where we did launch our safety video for the 7 Safe Haven Rules. There's a link there if you care to have a look at that. That's very much focused on driving a change which goes to the psyche of how our people operate on site. To complement that, we are moving into a behavioural-based safety program now, which has also been launched during the quarter. On to sales and outlook. Obviously, the market continues to be one typified by a level of oversupply that's unhelpful. Our coal sales during the quarter at 4.5 has been pretty good. Our split, as you know, has dipped from where historically we've been without Maules production. So at met coal at 14% and 86% for our thermal is temporarily lower, as you know, basically because all production thus far out of Maules has been thermal in nature. But we do expect to be making what we know we'll be making our met type sales out of Maules, and they will be commencing during this December quarter, which is a positive thing for us. The average met products have been going out the door at nearly $71 US, so of course a reduction on what we've seen in previous periods and reflecting the oversupply in the met market. And we do expect, we put a range in there, we expect that to basically be at or about the same price for this for this next quarter. On a thermal level, it continues to be typified by oversupply. The average for the period for the GC Newt price at $58.85 certainly was a couple of dollars down on what we've seen in the past. And our outcome there as a company at $58, almost flat, is really not a bad outcome considering that the premium that we've been getting on our GC Newt sales has certainly offset the tons that we do put into Korea. So that's probably not a bad outcome across the quarter. As I say, semi-soft, we expect that to continue to be at these levels going forward, some 3 to 4% reduction on what we'd seen in the previous quarterly settlements. And we are expecting to see some closures come out of the US in particular now that we've seen a few of the players move into Chapter 11, and may continue to see a few more of those as the next 12 months rolls out. Having said that, the demand for our quality thermal coal has certainly been strong, and we've been very pleased at the take-up of Maules Creek in particular as customers are lining up to take sales of that. We had thought initially that we might need to trade off a little bit of the premium that we receive for that quality coal in getting away trial shipments, but certainly that's not been the case thus far, and which has been very pleasing for us. But and you would have seen the IEA's report come out recently focused on a subset of their previous data, which is also supportive of the prospects for longer-term quality coal in particular. Support the notion that Southeast Asia obviously is continuing to grow its thermal generation fleet, and as the new technology is rolled out for these new builds of power stations, they are certainly going to trend more towards the quality coal that Australia sells, and Whitehaven will benefit disproportionately from that move as well. So if I go into the sites, as I mentioned, Narrabri, as you know, a full change out during this quarter, so that's lost a little bit of production for the quarter as expected, but still a million tonnes for Narrabri has been a very solid outcome, and the ramp up on the other side of that change out now is actually better than anticipated, so that's been a very, very positive result for us. Certainly safe. Safety was very good during the course of the change out, and it's been on time and budget. As we previously advised, we are working already on the wider face and development in Panel 7, and that's certainly going according to plan. The mine continues to set some pretty good numbers, and I'd say records, in the sense of development metres that we're achieving. Certainly 6,000 metres during the course of a quarter is a solid performance in anyone's mine, and when you consider that that's been done with three continuous miners, that's been an outstanding achievement. So continuing the very good float security, if you like, in advance of advancing to the next panels, and we'll continue to push that even further as we drive ahead, because as people will know, the panels in Narrabri will get longer, which is better for our more consistent performance with less changeouts, if you like, per tonne of coal mined. Our guidance remains the same, 6.6 to 6.8 in terms of ROM production, 100% terms for the year, but we do have a change out, as you know, in the back end of the schedule for this year, financial year that is. Our focus here really is to try and get through this panel as quickly as we can and drag that change out even more, earlier into this year, so that we can actually put some more productive tons into the back end of this financial year. Saleable coal production just for the quarter there, 1.573, as I said before, is really evidence of the fact that we build meaningful stocks on the ground ahead of the change-out, and we've been able to sell during the course of that period. Coal stocks have actually been drawn down significantly, as you would expect, during that time. Maules tracking very nicely. So ROM coal production at 1.55 has been pretty solid. And now with just subsequent to this, having brought on another large digger and associated trucks into the overburden fleet, we are in the process of ramping up past this. The balance of equipment necessary to get to the 8.5 million tonne run rate will be coming in December. So by the time we round up this calendar year, we'll certainly have that productive capacity to do the 8.5 to 9 million tonnes run rate installed, and we'll see the benefit of that in the second half of this financial year. Thought I'd just mention just quickly coal quality for the mine. Certainly in the earlier seams, the upper seams above the Braymont, we hadn't really been anticipating as strong a coking properties as what we've ultimately found, so that's a very positive thing for us and should bode well for the sales that start in the second half of this calendar year for met coal sales. The ramp, as I say, we think 8.5 million tonnes is certainly achievable with the gear that we'll have installed by Christmas time, and we certainly think it'll be closer to 9 million tonnes for that when we're operationalising that balance of that equipment by Christmas. Our guidance remains the same, 7.1, this is ROM tonnage, 7.1 to 7.3, but certainly we'd certainly be looking to push to the boundaries of that a little as we get towards the back end of the year. Open cut performance for the smaller mines has been very positive. Tarrawonga, again, as it did last year, has made a very good start this year, and so that certainly bodes well for production at point 535,000 tonnes in ROM production, certainly comparable with the previous corresponding quarter, which was also a very strong start to that year. Saleable coal production at 520,000 tonnes has been very positive. Rocglen has been subject to a little bit of weather and a little bit of variability in terms of some volcanic intrusions that we've found in the pit floor, which has given us some challenges there. So at 236,000 tonnes for the year, some 17% lower, that's been a little bit of a challenge for us, but we have implemented a recovery plan to make sure that we balance that out and maintain our target for the full financial year. Werris Creek, similar to last year, certainly got away nicely, and we're starting to see some improvements at that mine. We did take some difficult steps to restructure the workforce there in June of last year. So our challenge is to maintain our productive output despite the fact that we've got a smaller headcount there, but certainly the start that we've got to this quarter would indicate that we're able to do that as expected. Vickery has certainly been, the level of work on the Vickery project has ramped up significantly. So there's a number of studies that we need to go through in terms of noise, vibration, dust and traffic and so on for the enlarged footprint of the Vickery project. So that work is continuing at a pace. The timeline remains the same in terms of the creation of the joint venture and certainly timeline for bringing the project on hasn't changed, our expectation being that will be subsequent to the full ramp up of Maules Creek. From a corporate level, just giving you some stats as we do, just in terms of our hedge position and exploration expenditure has been pretty minimal during the course of the period just to maintain our properties in good standing. So overall, a pretty solid outcome for the first quarter of the year. If you look at those tonnes, you know, nearly 3.9 million tonnes of ROM production during the course of the quarter, I think you could easily extrapolate that out in terms of what a normal quarter with Narrabri up and running looks like. I mean, you've got to be, you know, around the 5 to early 5 million tonnes per quarter going forward, and that's certainly the run rate we've budgeted for ourselves and what we expect to see. So all in all been pretty good. The cost performance has been as good as we would have hoped, in fact, a little bit better than we thought we'd do, so that's been positive. But with that, a very good quarter. I'll open the floor up to questions, moderator.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Once again, to ask a question, that's 0-1 on your telephone. And your first question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Paul. 3 questions, if I may. Firstly, the sales for the quarter, were they a record?
Peter, you're going to give me the other 2 questions as well?
Put you on it. Okay, that's fine. Second one was the global coal price, the nuke price, the discount that you came out with for the quarter. Just get a sense of how many tonnes you are selling into the Korean market so we can work out the blend going forward.
Yep.
And thirdly, Bengala, thoughts
yep.
on what that means for
yep.
Whitehaven see-through valuation.
Yeah, okay. Certainly... Sales have certainly been up, so that's a record. I mean, it's sort of a little bit of a strange thing to say, isn't it? Because
I'm not sure if I get it.
Sales generally, I mean, as a company that's growing the rate we are, that's been a very positive thing. We had a big quarter, obviously, last in the June quarter, and so for us, this has been a, you know, a significant ramp up. So it's almost like Narrabri. Every month is a record, and there because it's a mine that's ramping up, as a company that's ramping up, every quarter is a record at this point.
Yep.
Being able to maintain sales through the period of the longwall changeout was key to being able to do that. CC Nuke versus Korea. The Korean market's been very good for us in the past, but as you know, it's really not where we are going to be, if you like, in terms of concentration of tons longer term. Our company as a whole, the average CV of our product is going up over time, and obviously with Narrabri coming on, that's obviously Japanese quality coal. Maules Creek coming on, Japanese quality coal again. So our average CV actually sees us drift away, if you like, a little bit from the Korean market, although that has been a very solid one for us. In terms of split of thermal coal product, we've been as high as 35, nearly 40% at times, but that is drifting off certainly in this year and will drift off into the future, as I say, proportionally that comes down. Last year, in 15, was probably the peak of the Korean sales as a proportion of our total business. In terms of Bengala look-through, I mean, the Bengala price, that shows us in a pretty good light, I would have said, in terms of from a valuation perspective. It's a decent asset. Low strip ratio, they wash well pretty much everything there, so that's not ideal. But, I think that's a very good valuation marker for the industry more generally. The market is the market, so sentiment and confidence in the sector play a part in all of these things. But when you've got a willing but by no means desperate seller and a willing buyer, significant valuations are still being seen for decent assets. And given the quality of the assets we've got, we think that that's not an it's a good number, don't get me wrong, in this market, but it's not an unexpected number, given that that's a decent asset too.
How do you think about the disparity or dislocation between corporate and equity value? Because it's extreme. I think we all come up with the same conclusion as you do, and it's a great pointer. But the difference is just, it's not tens of percent, it's extraordinary. Thoughts on...
Yeah, look, if I could explain all that, Peter, you'd hope the market wouldn't be where it is. Long term, I mean, that's an interesting valuation for them because it's
the Bengala project's a good one. They've got a recent extension to its life.
That's good, but it's a product that you've got to wash in order to get it to Japan, and it doesn't have any met coal capability, obviously. Obviously, with Whitehaven, not only do you have a growing production profile where all the capital's behind us, whereas they've got to put more capital into theirs. We've also got the met coal drive, which is going to see our business, once Maules is fully ramped, trending up to about 40% met coal production, which is significant upside for us. But valuations today, are reflective of the fact that people are still of a bearish mindset about the outlook. I can't justify today's coal prices, just to be honest, based on our production output. So if you look at our ramp up and the margins we're getting, that valuation today, looks, even if you said flat thermal price and flat currency, looks conservative. But you would expect me to say that.
Good. Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Paul Young from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Paul, a question on cash flow. One big thing that, of course, that you guys are focused on is maximising cash flow. At the moment with where thermal sits, and you've got that cash tax payment due this year as well, and in light of where your CapEx sits, although that's reducing. But looking at Maules Creek and your comments just on the new fleet arriving and your guidance, I'm just trying to do the numbers here, and you're going to do better in the December quarter, I imagine, with some new kit on the ground, and then that ramps up. You mentioned by the end of December, let's call it March quarter, fully operational. I struggle to sort of get, even with a modest ramp up, Maules Creek doing less than 7.5. Of product, depending on whether you're washing or not. But just want to get your thoughts on what are the risks of not exceeding the 7.3, and another way of looking at it. The other thing, Paul, is that on costs at a group level, one of your big cost components is moving waste at Maules Creek, and something you really haven't mentioned much in the past is optimising waste. All the companies are doing it across the coal industry. It's a new mine, so you've probably got less flexibility, but can you run us through your strip ratios in the early years and what you're doing on site to potentially sort of defer waste if you are doing that and have looked at that? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. There's a few questions there.
Yeah.
Jamie's here as well, so he might want to comment also on malls. But let me first start off. The 7.3 or 7.5 is your numbers. Look, we're confident in the range that we've given that we can do that. You're certainly right in saying that this equipment's going to be on the ground by December, as we've said, and that by March that's a reasonable time to be operating at that pace. We certainly expect to be able to certainly deliver in the range that we've given people. Cost performance thus far, and this is important, cost performance thus far at malls has been very positive. In the pre-commercial phase, we've got a read on that, but now that the pit's a little bit larger and the gear's in there and it's been able to, the large gear fits better in the now enlarged footprint of Maules Creek, so that's been positive for us. And we're going through a case now of optimisation, now that we've actually got a real project with a pit that's actually large enough to net sustain this bigger equipment being there from day one. It was certainly the right decision to bring that on early, and we're seeing the benefit from that. So there's certainly upside tons-wise. I don't think there's any, to your question, what are the negatives or what's the risk of doing less than that? I don't see that being an issue for us at all. I think the 7.1, we're certainly going to do that, I would say. So I wouldn't see downside risk there. I'd see more on the upside risk, upside positivity in volumes.
Fair enough. And Paul, just specifically again on the strip ratios. So your last published figure was 6.4 BCM per ton of mine. Is that the case in the first few years? Is there any scope of? I mean, have you guys? You said you're looking at optimization. Is there any scope of potentially, deferring some waste to actually maximise cash flow, particularly this year?
Look. Paul, we're not doing anything. I'll just say that, be clear on this. We're not doing anything to compromise the longer term prospectivity of this development. We've just built it. We built it cheaply, and it's going to run cheaply. And we're not going to do anything. When we say optimise, I mean efficiency. I don't mean high grading. We're not going to high grade this mine in order to in a way that might in some way impair the life of the asset. No, that's not what we're going to do. The strip ratio, the 6.4, that's a very consistent rate over the first 20 years. In fact, at the moment, it's actually lower than that, which is in the high fives. So that's been positive. But I just want to make sure that everyone understands that we're not going to be seeking to high grade this mine in any way. It's early days. We want to set the pit up for the longer term, prosperity of the project for ourselves and our joint venturers. So we don't see the need to do anything like that.
The only comment I'd make, Paul, is that the optimisation that we are doing is more around, looking at the sequencing over the next 2 to 3 years and potential for advancement of when we get opportunities for in-pit backfilling and therefore, balance our haul profile over this sort of 3 to 5 year time frame. So that's the sort of work that we are doing. But, to reinforce what Paul says, we are still in the very early days of a very large project, and opportunities for deferring overburden really don't present themselves. I mean, we've got to open the pit up to be able to ramp up to the 13 million tonnes.
Yep. Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Good quarter. Cheers.
Thanks, Paul.
And your next question comes from the line of Paul McTaggart from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Just wanted to follow back up on Peter's earlier question about realised pricing. So I think you had a 2% premium in the previous quarter, not the previous corresponding, but the June quarter, and now you're a 1% discount. So was there a material change in terms of the proportion of those tonnes that were going into Korea? It must have been quite significant to kind of bring that delta. And just on costs, I also wanted to ask, is it worth washing PCI and semi-soft coal at the minute with the $71 pricing? Have you thought about, obviously some of the larger guys are, Rio, for example, is selling met coal into the thermal coal market, to save on the washing costs. I mean, is that something you've thought about, or would you consider that? Or is this just a view at the moment that, this is a short-lived downturn in the PCI semi-soft price?
Yep. Okay, thanks, Paul. I might try and deal with that one first, actually. It might be an easy one to deal just to... Just to point to a key point of difference between ourselves and the Hunter Valley guys. And if I look at it, I mean, with the price today, even if you said you've got $70 at semi-soft and you're trading at 73,
cents in Aussie dollars. That's 95, nearly $96 in terms of your semi-soft Aussie dollar price. And if you times that by 92%, so you get your after royalty number, well, that's $88. And so, and if you think about our cost base as a group, you know, where we finished up the year end last year, and that's certainly been consistent with what we've seen in this year. In fact, we're pushing hard to continue that that movement down. There's still very, very good margin in the met coal product. So, and when I say very, very good, it's obviously a relative statement. And when you consider that, a good proportion of met coal is now also coming out of Narrabri through our PCI sales into India, which attract the same price, which has a much lower cost base than the average of the group, we're minded to produce every ton of PCI and semi-soft we can, because, you know, that's where there's healthy margin. So just so you can understand it. And the key to all of that is our yield difference. You know, so our yield is, you know, I would say at worst half of what other people experience when they try and make these products. And in lots of instances, that's actually only a third. I mean, Narrabri itself, our yield as a site is 98%. It's nearly nothing. So every time we can get our Narrabri that we can send into India and get that price is obviously well worth doing. So just for the sake of that, everyone can understand that our margins today are actually, you know, with our met coal are certainly far more attractive than what the thermal coal is, which is the reverse of what you've described, which we accept is the experience of many, if not all, in the Hunter Valley. Coming back to your first question, which was the Koreans, but yes, we did actually have a mix. You know, it was just really a timing issue between the mix of Korean tons versus the GC Nuke tons from last quarter to this. So we had less in the last period. I mean, as a general principle, we're getting 3-5% premium on the GC Nuke for the GC Nuke tons. You know, so that's, you know, if you look at what goes out of Narrabri in particular and Maules, that's a consistent feature there now. But obviously, you know that Korean tons go out at a discount to that. We do have some Korean quality seams in our other operations, Werris being one in particular. But obviously, the cost base of Werris is pretty good, so that's still good business for us. But that was really just a weighting one quarter to the other.
Okay, thanks, Paul. And just could you confirm what you for your PCI coal out of Narrabri? You must be washing it. So my recollection is yields are 15% or something.
Yield at Narrabri across the site is 98%. Yeah. We're producing, with this year, we'll sell about 1 million tonnes of PCI out of Narrabri. And if you look at our segment note at the back of our annual accounts, you'll work out what the cost base of Narrabri is. You know, call it low $50.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Glenn Laycock from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. I just wanted to just follow up a little bit on the pricing. Could you just let us know how many tonnes you are selling of the low energy, sort of the sub-Skoda coal, and then how do you plan to deal with that? Is it the intention to keep selling that, or do you intend to blend it with, say, Maules Creek and uplift it to spec? And then just wondering, with the Maules Creek coal that you've sold to date, you know, you've been selling a little bit now, how are you going relative to GC Nuke pricing on that? Or is it all still going into the Noble contract, so you're not actually getting any of the benefit of the high energy? And then just, I know you've talked a little bit around it, indirectly on the costs. You sort of said, you know, you're hoping to do better than the $60 you exited fiscal 15 for the rest of the business ex Maules. So that sounds good. But you also said at the result, guidance for Maules would be 62. Again, is that sort of, I guess, one quarter in now, running at 6.5, that feels like it's conservative? Is that sort of the case as well? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. I'll try and answer a couple of those things. The premium for Maules Creek coal, as I mentioned before, 3-5%. That's certainly what we're getting. So there's no issue with us attracting a premium for Maules Creek coal. The issue, obviously, is the GC Nuke price is not what we'd like it to be, but the premium is still there. The premium's obviously proportionally the same, but it's off a lower base. So that's annoying.
The Noble contract, we get it there.
Yeah, Ian's just mentioned to me the Noble contract. Noble contract has an energy premium in it, which we get, but there's no ash premium, as we've discussed before, in that as well. We haven't split out the quantum of tons going to Korea in the past, and I don't propose to do that today, other than to note that, as I said before, it's going down a proportion of our total business. And that makes complete sense when you consider that Maules Creek is unlikely ever in its life to produce significant volumes that would ever go near that market. So we don't see the need for that. But you do point to something that's interesting for us. In fact, as the business, as I say, gravitates in energy-wise away from the Korean market, that coal which we do still have, which is of that nature in terms of quality, can be blended more readily now with the available capacity we have at Maules in particular, because Narrabri obviously does have a few long-term offtake contracts, so there's less, if I can call it, free coal, you know, available to be able to do that, because we're putting it in the hands of long-term offtakers straight out of the mine. But as Narrabri continues to ramp up, the margin of coal that we can actually use for that purpose is actually growing, because it's not the full output of the mine that's contracted. And then Maules Creek, obviously given its early days, there's certainly lots of capacity for us to be able to put our hands on the coal and use that for a blending benefit across our business. And cost at Maules, look, 62 is the guidance we gave you for thermal coal. Look, we're beating that. There's no doubt about that. We're beating that. That's good. The cost, the run rate that we ended the year in 15, we're seeing a reduction, you know, already over that. And that's been the point of focus for us, as you know. We certainly think we need to get it down, you know, further than where we are. What sort of guidance are we giving in terms of, you know, cost per tonne reductions on where we were the last year? I'd say it's probably the same as what we gave in the last 6 months. $1 to $2 in the full year is where we want to be. And as I say, the cost run rate to date is certainly evidencing that that's achievable.
Okay. Paul, can you still hear me?
Yep.
Just to follow up, if I can, I mean, given the high quality of the coal you're getting, is there any sense, you know, I hope you're having conversations with the Japanese, can you squeeze any of those tons into the JFY contracting basis, given, you know, it's now trading at, what, almost a $16 premium to GC Nuke? Is there any room for you to squeeze some tons onto the JFY basis and squeeze out some, maybe some other lower quality that they've been buying, or is that just not physically possible?
Well, look, there's an interesting dynamic there, Glenn. I mean, certainly, there are certain contracts that we are chasing that do have that opportunity. The reality of it is, you know,
the JFY pricing is, you know, it's not
really as meaningful as it was in the past. And it's not to say that there aren't some of our competitors selling some tons in there today, but certainly it's a lot less than they ever were. In fact, there are very few, you know, Japanese participants who are actually interested in that for the very reason that you've just highlighted. Why would we pay $16 more per tonne? So what you're seeing in the marketplace, and this is nothing new, it's been shifting for some time, that people aren't minded to actually to contract on that basis at the moment. Why would you when you can go and get GC Newt pricing? And so that's the dynamic which is at play, and that's why we focus on the fact that we are getting a premium over GC Newt for our coal. But the opportunities to contract it on the JPY pricing is actually, they're actually quite limited, and if anything, the trend is away from that. That's not our preference, clearly, but that's the preference of the buying market.
Okay, thanks very much.
And your next question comes from the line of Brendan Fitzpatrick from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, everyone. The first question's probably more just a confirmation. We were talking earlier about the new equipment coming at Maules, the production rates we'll likely see through the March quarter next year. Beyond March quarter, as we look over the next or the subsequent couple of years, the ramp-up profile we've seen in previous presentations, is that just an additional equipment coming through that facilitates more tonnes year on year? And the second question I have is some discussion in the presentation, the release today about better than expected quality, potentially higher met coal ratios out of Maules Creek. My recollection is the big shift to met coal production comes after the ramp-up's fully complete. Is that still the expectation that we have to see the nameplate achieved before we swing across to the met coal output?
Paul, Jamie here. Thanks. Look, the ramp-up at Maules is, as you say, really linked to as the equipment is delivered into the project. So, you know, as Paul indicated, the next tranche of equipment is due to arrive in early December, and that will get us to the 8.5 to 9 million tonne annualised rate. And then over the next subsequent two financial years, we continue the ramp up towards the 13 million tonne, you know, nameplate capacity. So that really is as simple as just seeing additional excavators and associated truck fleets arrive at the required time to meet that ramp up schedule. And in terms of the you know, the split of met coal, I guess as we've indicated previously, we see that more driven by the market. And you know, looking at you know, in 5 years' time, essentially a 50% split between the met coal product and thermal coal product. You know, the plant in and of itself is able to provide, you know, varying splits, I guess, of met coal versus thermal coal, you know, and I guess we see that more market-driven than anything else. So that 10%, increasing by 10% every year as we go on, up to 50.
Yeah, I think it'd be fair to say, Brendan, that the earlier themes, you know, above the Braymont, we certainly had, on the basis of the analysis that we had through the data that we'd acquired and then drilling ourselves, it certainly indicated early that the proportion of coal in the upper seams that bore some coking properties was lower. We're finding that those seams are bearing better properties than what we expected. So that's certainly positive for us. As Jamie's saying, the market really is the driver here. The deposit can certainly, you could sustain 50% of its production as met coal after year three. It actually gets to about 55%, as we've modelled, that the deposit could produce. So very early in the life of the deposit, you can actually get up to a pretty significant proportion. The reality of it is that we'll push that as hard as the market allows us to, because for the very dynamics that I described before, that the margin, even at these prices, to us in doing that, we're absolutely incentivised to try and ramp this up hard. So our marketing efforts are not only just about obviously moving the thermal coal into the right hands and signing up the longer-term prospects with better customers, but obviously getting more met coal into the market sooner.
Okay, great. Appreciate the clarity.
And you have a follow-up question coming from the line of Peter O'Connor from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Paul, just two more technical questions. Firstly, on and following up along this semi-soft washing issue, just thinking this through, how much of the outlook, based on what you've just said over the last couple of questions, is a physical limit, i.e. what the seams can actually yield? How much of it is commercial? And you talked about the market size then at the end and how the market limits you. What is the cap on the market for semi-soft? And is that the true constraint? And I guess then, how hard could you push? You've just talked about Maules Creek pushing to 50% plus. Is there anything other flex in the system where if you were given the market opportunity, how far could you physically flex this place? That's the first question. The second one on development rates. Really impressed, Jamie, about how well you've done at Narrabri, and kudos to you and the team for doing that. If you could give us some thoughts on what it is that you're doing that is better or different that's allowing you to achieve that. Is it equipment? Is it culture? Is it your technique? Is there anything particular you'd point to? Thanks.
Yeah, Peter, I'll address the first one. The semi-soft, look, the semi-soft is, you know, a benefit of geology, obviously. The coals in the Gunnedah Basin wash better than the coals in the Hunter Valley. Our yield losses are commensurately lower, as I mentioned before. Half at worst, you know, and a third of their wash losses is typically what we see. The market is a smaller market for semi-soft, no doubt about it. Out of Newcastle, maybe 23 to 25 million tonnes flow out of there. Having said that, certainly it's been a growth area in the market over time. So we're throwing a blanket over both our products when we say met coal. So there's obviously PCI as well as semi-soft. Maules Creek has PCI as well as semi-soft. So whereas Narrabri only has the PCI capability. Tarrawonga, as you know, is about 50 to 55% of our coal leaves Tarrawonga in the met market. So that is a growing segment. When you speak to the steel makers in Japan and Korea, they're actually blending in more semi-soft, and that sort of sounds slightly counterintuitive when you think that hard coking coal is so cheap, but because of the oversupply in the market, they're using any and all measures to bring costs down. So semi-soft blending ratios, you know, they're talking about heading it towards 60% of their blends. So we do see that as an interesting market opportunity for us. As we've noted earlier in the conversation, people are vacating this market because they can't afford to wash. We absolutely can afford to wash, and so we'll be, as I say, penetrating that market as quickly as we can. And that really is the limiting factor here. The sooner we can get trials into people's hands, the sooner we can sign up return business. As we've mentioned before, the process of actually going through a trial of semi-soft and PCI product takes a little bit longer to, in terms of cycle time from the delivery of a trial sample to the consummation of a longer-term deal, is longer than it is for thermal. Thermal's a very quick turnaround. You know, semi-soft, it takes you, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 months to sign up return business once you've put a trial sample in their hand.
Okay. Roger?
Yeah, on the development question, Peter, I believe it's a number, I guess, of or a combination of all of the factors you talked about. I mean, I guess the first one is, you know, the scene we mine at Narrabri is, you know, it's probably, you know, some of the best mining conditions I think any of us have ever seen. So, yeah, that certainly helps your development advancement rates. But on top of that, yes, you know, we've got good equipment, you know, well maintained, you know, good availability. You know, the team focuses on those aspects very closely, and we've got a, you know, almost a real-time monitoring system in place in terms of the uptime we get out of that equipment. And people's a big part of it. You know, we have a very good workforce at Narrabri. You know, there's a very good work culture there. You know, very productive. You know, focus, very production focused. So I think all of those things, you know, have delivered the result that we see. But you know, I won't go into, you know, the detail. But we do have another project that we're looking at to take those levels of production to another incremental step above where we are today. So you know, I think that's also part of it. You know, we don't sit on our laurels in terms of where we are and say that's good and that's as best as we can get. The part of the culture is, you know, looking to stretch ourselves to do better constantly. So the team's looking at where the next step will take us.
Thanks, Jamie.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And there are no further questions coming through at this time, so I'll now turn the conference back to Mr. Flynn. Please continue, sir.
All right. Thank you all for taking the time once again. Appreciate you listening into the quarter's outcome. Certainly, as I say, we believe it's been a very strong quarter. Certainly an excellent outcome from a sales perspective, and ROM obviously a little lower based on the change out that we've had. But as I say, when you factor that into Narrabri, 2 extra productive months into the quarters going forward, you're going to see in the order of 5 million tonnes per quarter in ROM production going forward. But if there's any further questions on any of the follow up on any of the questions that we've answered in the call today, you know where to find us here. Thanks very much once again.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. We thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.